Can I just say, I really do want a big shout out for you parents, young kids. Well done. You just got here. And I just can I just say, I just have just so appreciated all the kids. You, when God said go multiply, you guys have done a good job. But you know, just thank you. Like, you know, for me, my biggest thing is I have to remember to brush my teeth before I walk out the door, you know. But you guys, you've done so well in getting your kids here. Like, and you really are wonderful heroes this morning, you know. I can't imagine all the effort it's taken, and it was really wonderful there. Mel's not in the room, so Mel was over there. She was sort of singing and praising God, and there's Cooper. She's holding Cooper's hand while Cooper's going here and there, and it's just wonderful. It's so much harder for you guys. Some of us have gone on before. We know what it's like. But can I just say, well done. And absolutely. And there's some babies in here, and there's nothing that I delight more than just hearing a goo and a gar and some occasional whinge of a baby. That's okay. That's what we do as a family. That's really taps into what we are, the spiritual family, spiritual home. We're going to be talking about that a bit today, but I'll just say you guys are most welcome. And I really realise also there's some of the older folk who it's a real effort to get here. Those bones are painful when they wake up, and you've done really well to get here. And I recognise that some of you have paid a huge cost, and others of us we just roll on up. So thank you. We'll be going on about Kingdom Impact this month. The whole month has been our Vision Month. We remember the lunch we had at the start of the month. How good was that, eh? It was just to gather together and have a meal together as we shared a meal. Why Kingdom Impact? Kingdom Impact is not to build this church. I mean, I delight to see people here, and it's so full. That's wonderful. But it's not about building this church. Kingdom Impact is not so we get more money and resources from people. We don't want to just do that. It's not about making us feel okay. Because we believe that the love of God, to understand the love of God for us, has the greatest meaning in our life. There is nothing greater than knowing we are loved by God and that we can respond in love to Him. There is worth nothing more than understanding that Jesus Christ is our Lord. There is nothing that we could swap value for that. It is the highest value. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us hope. Hope in difficulties and hardship. And we believe Kingdom Impact is significant in the Hawkesbury because people need to hear this. Not everyone knows. There are people who don't understand this. And we are gathering as the people of God in this spiritual home because this is who we are. And we live with these treasures, and they're treasures that we actually believe that people need to know about. And we can't control them. We just want to make it known. So we are believing in 2023 that God is continuing to write this chapter of our life and the kingdom impact that we're going to see in our community. We want to see that impact. And we want to see the way that impact will happen is if God's people, and we're not the only extent of God's people, there's others in the community, I recognise, but as we, God's people, carry God's presence. We carry the very presence of God in our workplaces, in our families, and into this spiritual home. As we see that, as we bring also God's authority wherever we go into God's world. And that's what we've been banging on about this last month. And the end of Vision Month doesn't mean we're going to stop banging on about that. We're going to be banging on about this all year. God's people carrying God's presence with God's authority into God's world. And we've been talking about, haven't we, these spiritual disciplines that we're going to try to build, these like these exercises. We're going to get stronger as we love, pray, give and serve. As we love, pray, give and serve. And I hope that somehow you have been interacting with this in some area of your life. We talk about the four areas, and we're going to be talking about the fourth one today, but the first one is our intimacy with Jesus. How do we love, pray, give and serve in our delight, just in our relationship with Jesus, our individual relationship? How do we express the love that we can have for Jesus? We also talk about our family and friends. We want to see, how do we love, pray, give and serve in the closest circle of people in our lives? How do we do that in our community, our marketplace? For those who don't go out to work, we still have a community, a place where we exist, where we have networks. And particularly for those who go out into a workspace, you may be the only believer that they have ever come in contact. The only presence of God they experience is you. I wonder, how do you review your last week? How has the presence of God be seen in your workplace? So we're going to be talking about our spiritual home. And we believe that, God willing, that if we use these four disciplines in these four areas of our life, including our spiritual home, we're hoping for measurable outcomes. We want to see first-time commitments. We want to see people come to Christ for the first time. We want to see baptism. We want to see people who are being obedient to Jesus. And so they become a believer and they get baptized because that's what Jesus tells us to do. We want people to serve because Jesus actually came as not to be a lord over everyone in the earth, but to serve. We believe life groups are an essential part of actually our spiritual development, because if this is all you've got, then, I said last week, this is like having one meal a week. We believe that in our relationships with the closest people, we gather together in groups of 10 people, and if you're interested in a life group, then please let me know. We're measuring this. There's 65 of you who are in some sort of life group. Thank you. But we just want to see people connecting so that they can actually discover what it means to be a believer in Jesus in our world, and discipleship relationships. How do we seek to be in relationships to disciple people to faith and from faith? And today we're going to be looking at our spiritual home. If this is not your spiritual home, if you're visiting, maybe the first time, or you are most welcome to make this your spiritual home. Here you, have a look around. You're not going to see any, you're not going to see perfect people. You're going to see pretty average people. You're going to see people who have their own struggles. We've all got our own problems. But we want to do life together, because that way we can actually be what God wants us to be. I'm going to be looking at a few images from the scriptures, images about what a church is, the local church. So when I talk about local church, that's what we're talking about today. I'm talking about our spiritual family. There is a universal church, which we're a part of, but right now the focus is on us as a local church. I want to read from John 15:5. I am the vine, this is Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is for those of us who've been following Jesus for a while, this is a very common thought, isn't it? We are almost the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. We're connected together. We actually, to function well, to actually be fruitful, we actually need each other. We need that connection with one another. But the word that there's one little word in this passage that really does cause me a bit of concern. The word if. Look at the word if there. If you remain in me. Because you know what? You have the option to walk away from Jesus. That's you're free. Jesus doesn't make you a prisoner. You are free to walk away from Jesus and give up. And sadly, I bet you know people who have, eh? And the greatest sadness for me was particularly in the late mid-40s, see lots of my friends who actually I was involved in church who actually have given up. And they're 50s. I'll tell you how I go in the 60s. I'm not there yet. So there you go. You've got a free ticket. You can walk away from Jesus and he'll let you walk away. Is that one of the greatest tragedies? That we actually will choose that? If you do not remain in me, the invitation is to remain in Jesus. But you know what? You may choose not to remain in Jesus. And you will not be fruitful. Fruitful. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. You know, if we can align our lives with the very purpose of God, and we're connecting with God, we're abiding in Jesus, where our heart is actually a reflection of what God's heart is, you know what? Whatever we want in... I've got to be careful here. I don't want to miscommunicate this. I'm not saying you're going to get whatever you want. Whatever the Father wants, you will get. Okay? Whatever the Father wants, you will get if your heart is aligned with God's heart. The second image I want to bring out is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and helping and guidance and all other kinds of tongues. So there's many gifts. So again, if you've been traveling with Jesus, this is a very common passage we often talk about, that somehow that you know, we are actually a body. We actually work together in for the purposes of God. God gives gifts to build up the church. And I just want you to sit with a thought that you are God's gift to this church. Can you just sort of sit with that for a moment? You are God's gift to this church. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize the gifts that God gives. And first and foremost, you are a gift. It doesn't matter if you're a tiny little one, nearly going to sleep on mum's lap, or elderly and feel like you can't do much. You are God's gift. But you have the power to deprive this church of God's gift. You have that power. You have the power to withdraw and not be the gift that God has designed for us at this church. You have that power. You can rob the church of the gift that God has meant for here, for the building up. And that's one of the greatest tragedies I've seen in all my life as a pastor, that people actually withdraw their gift that is so desperately needed for the good of the church. You have the right to walk away from Jesus, and you have the ability to deprive the church of this, of your gift. I want to go to 1 Peter 2. This wonderful passage. And again, the way it comes, I've probably spoken about this while I've been here. 1 Peter 2, as you come to him, okay? As you come to Jesus. As you come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, the cornerstone or the stumbling block for others, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a living stone. Let's play with that analogy. We're not talking about bricks. There are no bricks here to point out. Not bricks, those bricks over there that are so uniform and so nice. I'm talking about those old English walls, you know, the old, you know, that those stone people make. And I hear when they pick up a stone, they never put it down. They always fit it somewhere. That's the image here, living stones. But sometimes, you know, sometimes those stones probably need to be knocked in half, don't they? And you probably have felt the chipping away of the Holy Spirit on your life to make you fit into this space as God's holy building. Have you felt the chipping away? I'm sure you have. It's that awkward person that's sitting behind you, that don't look around now. It's that awkward person that sits behind you that makes you annoyed. That's a bit of God just shaping you, eh? Just chipping that sort of arrogance, that pride that you have, chipping it away, a living stone. This house that's being built, the spiritual house, this is temple language. And I could take you to many other places where Paul says, you individually are the temple of God, but you, plural, together are the temple of God. This uses priests. We are called to be a holy priesthood. And you know what priests do? I'm not a priest. We actually, in the Christian churches, you can call what a priest whatever you want, but a true priest is someone who represents God to people. So I'm not just me that's a priest. We're all priests, actually. It's not just my role as pastor. I'm not that sort of priest. But you, as representatives of God to people, you are priests. You are the priesthood, a holy priesthood. You bring the presence of God into your workplace, into your community, into your homes, into your families. It doesn't matter where you are. Are you going to represent God because you are a priesthood? You represent God to people. Bride of Christ. This is Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing water and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our God, our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Don't be the person who actually throws mud at the bride of Christ, all right? Don't be the person who throws rocks or mud at the bride of Christ, because you're going to answer to the husband. I don't know. Come on, you guys here who've been married. You imagine your bride's coming down the aisle and someone starts throwing tomatoes what are you going to do? And all the godliness that you're going to have, you're going to go and punch him in the face, aren't you? That's what you're going to do. You're going to, how dare you dishonor my bride like that? Well, here's Christ saying, we are the bride of Christ. So for God's sake, in the best sense, don't defame the church. Don't throw rocks. Don't throw insults. Be the one who actually builds up the church. Because it's Christ's church. I could talk about the sheepfolds, there's things about leaven, about the family of God, the people of God, the chosen nation. But I want to ask, I'm challenging you today, aren't I? And this document is going to be with us all year. This document, how are you going to love your spiritual home? We do that because of our love for Christ. How are you going to love this? What are you intentionally going to do to show love? How are you going to pray for this church? One of the big prayers has to be, really, right now, is that we find the right person for the senior pastor. That surely has to be one. But can I suggest that's not the biggest prayer we could pray right now? There's far bigger prayers about how we impact the Hawkesbury Valley. There's far bigger prayers. God will look after it. Don't worry about that. But I think there's far bigger prayers that we're praying. How do we give? How do you give? Time? I just so appreciate there's people here at 8 o'clock this morning. I don't know what time you rolled up. I wasn't here at 8 o'clock this morning, but there are people here at 8 o'clock this morning preparing this for you. So thank you. How are you going to give your time and energy? One of the things that we intentionally included in here was the budget. We want you to know that this doesn't just magically materialise. We run on a budget. It's a part of our community-ness that we want to make you aware of it. So, and the irony here is that I'm actually talking about the budget. I think if I can communicate something simple, I've tried hard to understand this, maybe those who don't love budgets could also pick it up. But then the bottom half of here, you'll see, we've got to talk about our property. And the property is all this property, you know, all the cars out there in the car park, great. I'm not sure if you're aware that we actually own all this property and that they've got people who are tenants there. And I had to check this statement with Mark just to make sure I got it correct. I said, is this statement right? And he changed a few words. Thank you, Mark. But the income for the property covers the interest and the capital costs, the expenses and the transfers to the sinking fund. Any excess funds are also transferred to the sinking fund. And what that means is, you know, it's remarkable that we've got this remarkably valuable asset we're still paying off, but that's all being covered, and thank God. And so that's the property. But you know what, one of the reasons why we want to have a property is so that we can have this impact in our society in Hawkesbury. So let's come to the next slide, which talks about how we do that. So here you see there's got wages for chaplain wages. And so for we're talking about budget for 2023. This is the cost that's going to be for us to provide people in ministry leaders and a senior pastor. That's in faith we are budgeting for 6 months a full-time senior pastor. But there you'll see things like money goes to mission and pastoral care expenses. And rent to property. And so the first, the green, of course, is is our budget for 2023. All this goes towards the giving. What income do we need to sustain this budget? And so the next slide shows the income. So this is all in here. If you scan the QR code, there's more information. Now, I know 90% of you are not going to scan the QR code, and that's okay. But for those 10% who love this stuff, and any time you want to talk to Mark, he's available. But this is the budget we're talking about. We're going to be asking for an income from the church of $330,000 for 2023, so that we can do all that we hope to do, so that we ensure that the kids and the youth and young adults, for the pastoral care and for the administration, for the worship, as we're putting together a budget of $330,000. We're going to get $45,000 from schools to do chaplain in there. They're going to pay us $45,000 so that we can have four chaplains in five schools. Isn't that wonderful? They're going to pay us. I talked about this in another place, and they go, "What? They're a public school, and they're paying us to put chaplains in there." We're going to match that, and the matching is $48,900. And you know what the beautiful thing about that is? If you give to that, that's tax deductible. So the government's going to help in that as well. The counselling income has been happening during this year and last year, but we'd see, and there's not a plan that'll be any income from that for this year. So there's our total income. Based upon the giving, what we're asking really is, if we break up the giving for 2022 and to 100 people, what we're asking is for 100 people to give $10 a week more, and that will cover all our expenses. I know, I realise that everything is going up. You realise that, and so are the expenses of the church. But we're asking for you to consider your giving. Next slide, I think, might show. Could I go to the next slide, please? I think I've shown this before. 30% of you are giving 10% more, the tithe. The Bible talks about a tithe. 30% of you as a church, this is from the NCLS data that we got this year. 30% of you are giving a tenth of your income, a tithe. So thank you, it's very generous. 47% are giving less than 10%. 9% are giving a small amount when present. And 40% give no amount to the church. I suppose it comes down to, is this your spiritual home? Because just imagine your home at wherever you're going to go, where you came from, or where you're going to go back to. If you didn't contribute to your spiritual home, if your physical home, the bills don't happen. The bills come in, they don't get paid. The lights go out, and eventually you get evicted out. Well, the same thing for us. And so we encourage, I guess, this is for people who see this as your spiritual home. My encouragement to you is to reconsider your giving. There's also, that's the giving. There's also service. As I said, any more information, go and see Mark Davies. Anytime he's free to, this year, not every time, but he's available to talk about that. During the National Church Life Survey, we asked people about your involvement in the church. 29% of you, a third of you, want to be involved more in this local church. One third of you has said, "I would like more involvement in this local church." That thrills my heart. My question is, how do we connect you to the right space? So in the e-news this week, there's this website which goes to the next slide. for me? The next slide will show this website. And if you, one person's already done this. One person has filled in this survey about spiritual gifts, and I'm meeting with her on Tuesday to work out where's the best place that you can actually use your gifts here in this church. Someone's already done it. Another person has sent a dream and said, I'd love to think about this. And so we're going to be talking about that. My commitment to you is if you go to this website, do the survey, down the bottom you get an opportunity to write your pastor's email address and I get a copy of it. T. Kalman, it's in the e-news, I forget my email address. I've got six email addresses, yeah. So, if you send me a copy of this, I will make sure that we work out where you are best served, amongst me and the ministry leaders. This is an opportunity for you, one third. And so if I break you into a third, probably the number is like this. That sort of number wants to know, how can I serve more in this church? In the area of your gift. I'm not just talking about just setting the chairs out, but that'd be good. I'm not just talking about just being on pack up, which would also be good, but where you believe God wants your spiritual gifts. God's people carrying God's presence and God's authority into God's world. We believe there's a new chapter being written here at Hawkesbury Valley Baptist. We believe that Christ will build his church. We believe lives will be transformed, that hope will come into our community. We will strive to be people of love. We will strive to be people of prayer. We will strive to be generous people. We will strive to be serving people. That's the track we are on. This is the area where we believe we will have genuine impact into our community. We're going to do that with the Word of God in one hand and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the holy people of God. We are going to do all we can to tear down religious barriers that stops people meeting Jesus. We're going to be focusing on making disciples and learning together. We're going to be working for unity in our diversity. We're not all the same, but we've got a common purpose. Our deepest desire is for the Hawkesbury Valley to be flooded and filled with the love of God, with the Spirit of God, that we might make known the love of the Father who is in heaven, that we actually may see heaven come down to earth as we, the people of God, do the will of the Father who is in heaven. Our greatest joy will be for the 70,000 people who live and work in the Hawkesbury Valley to drink deeply of the living water, living and eternal waters that Jesus offer. We want to create a space where people can find Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus. We long to see the Spirit of God to be working in people's lives. That's the kingdom impact that we're looking for. Let's just pray. So, Father, I just want to thank you that you're a gracious God and you're being so gracious to us. To know your love, to experience your love, Lord, we want to do so more and more. We're not going to be satisfied with just the experience we've had to this day. We want to come closer to you. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Help us to lay before you our desires and actually take on your desires. Lord, transform our heart and mind. Lord, help us to be people who are generous, who will give freely. Lord, help us to be people who serve. Lord, may we truly be your people, carrying your presence and your authority into your world in 2023. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.